Now, fellas, if for our Bible college students, you don't have to put your pencil down. This is not going to be a homiletic masterpiece, but just some things I kind of had on my mind and on my heart that if y'all don't need it, I need it, all right? So I'm going to preach to me and glad y'all could come and hear it, all right? Thank you. Look what the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse number 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. The Bible says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Let's bow our heads and hearts together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, help us now to rightly portray the truth of the Word of God and encourage our hearts today in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and you may be seated. On the display screen here in the auditorium, I'm going to put up a picture, and I'm going to display a picture here in just a moment. This week was a historical event, not so much in our country, but it was in Great Britain. On Monday afternoon, the soldiers and the horses and the guns of the King's Royal Troop, or the Troop Royal Horse Artillery, they rode out of Wellington Barracks into Hyde Park and fired a 41-round salute. And then the Honorable Artillery Company, the City of London's Army Reserve Regiment, fired a 62-round gun salute from the Tower of London. And they did this to announce the birth of a new prince. This is the Kensington Palace announced the name of the royal couple's third child. He was born Monday at 11:01. He weighed 8 pounds and 7 ounces. Bells began ringing at Westminster Abbey, and they rang out from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. until they began to have all the shots being fired. And Great Britain is stirred by a baby that was born, and the baby will be known as His Royal Highness, Prince Louis of Cambridge. His entire name is a tribute. He shares names with his brother, Prince George Alexander Lewis, or Louis, his father, Prince William Arthur Philip Louis, and his grandfather, Prince Charles Philip Arthur George. But he will be known as Prince Louis. He is 8th in line for the throne of England. And so big deal was made this week about the birth of this child. Now, I had some time off, and so rather than having to dig in news stories and research all the different things that I normally am so depth involved, I got to do a little fluff reading this week. Kind of relaxing. I normally don't have time to chase the fluff stories in the news. America didn't say a whole lot about it, but I thought this picture striking. This is William and Kate, and of course, this is their third child that is born, Prince Louis, Kensington Palace, big deal there among the royals. So I began to dig a little bit in it, and I began to look at some things about the royalty and the British royalty and the British monarchy. And I'll be honest with you, I did not realize, I did not understand. This child that you see wrapped in the blanket there, you can barely see his face. He is the 16th generation grandchild of King James, the man that commissioned the penning of the Bible you hold in your hands. He's the 16th grandson. 16 generations would have been his great, 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 back 16 times. He is directly related. Did you understand that? That because of royal blood, did you know that Charles and Diana, that they were actually related? And both of them were related to King James? In different generations, they were one generation apart, but both of them would have been the, if he's the 16th, 15th, Charles would have been the 14th, and I think Diana was 15th, I believe, if I'm telling it right, and the genealogy research that I've done on them. So that bloodline, that royal bloodline that runs in the royalty. And here's the amazing part. You don't have to work to get in it. You can't work to get in it. You can't decide, I think I'm going to be British royalty. That's just not the way it works. I mean, you have to be in that cosmic, you know, gene lottery, you know, to be born in a palace and to be born royalty. And there's some things, as I begin to look at it and begin to study, there's some things that I was really impressed with. I was impressed with this great inheritance. This child came into the world at 11:01 this past Monday, British time, and immediately, I'm talking about the second he was born, he was royal. The second he was born, he had an inheritance. Do you understand that he was in line for the inheritance of all the kings of all of Britain and all the queens of all time? All of the wealth of all of the kings stay in the same, they stay in the family. And he inherited that. When he was born, the nurses in the hospital curtsied. When he was delivered and laid on the scale to be weighed, the nurses curtsied before him and bowed before him and addressed him as Your Majesty and addressed him as let's weigh His Majesty. Clean up His Majesty. He'd just been born. You were instructed to treat them with utmost respect, bowing, curtsying, addressing them as Your Royal Highness or Your Majesty, not to speak unless you're spoken to. You can't just go up and speak to royalty. See, when he was born, he got a royal title. And did you realize that when he left the hospital, free transportation? They didn't have to worry about driving or getting stuck in traffic. When they left the hospital, they had a police motorcade. They shut down London. They shut down all the streets because a little baby was coming down the street. They cleared everything from the hospital to Kensington Palace. They had helicopters in the air. They had guns on every street. The security was second to none for His Royal Highness, who was 3 days old. Did you know that there's a royal train that the royal family travels in? Did you know that there's an airliner that's nothing but it's a royal airliner that is they say similar to Air Force One that they travel on? Did you know they have a whole fleet of royal helicopters? And did you know that they have a whole fleet of Rolls Royces that are bulletproofed and similar to the presidential cars? Whole fleet of Rolls Royces. Whole fleet of them. Anything you're looking for. And all that transportation is provided free of charge because of who you are, your royalty. And no stopping for red lights. And no worry about traffic jams. You don't have to worry about that. And did you understand that already, that Prince Louis has his own, now listen to this, Prince Louis has his own valets. They were hired before he was born to take care of the baby. They went shopping in the most exclusive clothing stores in London to buy what he would wear home from the hospital. Did you know that all the royalty, that everything they wear is laid out for him? Did you know that Prince Charles has two valets that do nothing but pick out his clothes and purchase clothes? Did you know that there's a man on Prince Charles's staff that irons his shoelaces? My hand up. They iron his shoelaces. They iron his handkerchiefs. Every single outfit that he wears is new. Everything he puts on is brand new. Everything that he wears has some kind of meaning or something to it. And they're very, and brands and all the things, it's amazing. And then all those clothes that are bought, they're theirs. They get to keep them. As a matter of fact, if you'll remember Diana, she auctioned a bunch of her stuff off. and gave it to charity because she was interested in children's charities, and so it was hers. I mean, the government bought it for her, but it's hers. And she auctioned off for big prices. Matter of fact, one of her gowns not long ago, she's been dead for a number of years, but one of her gowns recently brought one of the highest prices ever paid for a garment at auction somewhere in Europe. A gown that she had wore to some affair, some big deal, and it was a big deal. Think of this. The royalty, the royal family, they have free accommodations. Do you understand that they have large palaces that are maintained completely by the public funding? They have Buckingham Palace. They have Kensington Palace. They have St. James Palace. And they have Windsor Castle. Now, that does not include all of the state-owned estates and houses out that they go to and use as summer homes and visit. That's just the main places that they live. And in those castles, they are completely maintained. Every castle comes with valets and footmen and butlers and maids and chauffeurs and nannies. That's all standard. Everything's completely furnished. Plus, get this. Over the years, the crown has collected a collection of paintings, furniture, ivory and gold, and relics that are throughout these palaces. The royal collection, as it's called, is estimated to be valued 1.5 billion pounds. The pound yesterday was $1.38. So take 40% on top of what I just said. Take 1.5 billion times 1.4, and that's how much American. It's worth about $2 billion. Just the furnishings of the homes that they live in, and it's all theirs to do what they want to it because they're royal. They have free accommodations, art, porcelain, antiques, all the rest. I'm impressed by that. I'm impressed by that great inheritance, that inheritance of royalty. But you know, I got to looking in my Bible. For 2 weeks, the world has rubbed its opulence and its pleasure seeking and all of the things of this world. They've rubbed it in my face. I've never seen so many heavy duty four-door diesel trucks in all my life. I mean, dealership ain't got nothing on this. I've been watching them coming out of the campground, pulling trailers, my friend, like you've never seen. We pull our little camper in. It's the smallest one in the campground and probably the oldest one. Fella backs in beside of us with a big Cummins diesel, backs this big rig in, backs plumb up to the lake, and I thought, what's he doing? He ain't going to be able to walk around that thing. He got it back tailgates plumb up to the lake. What's he doing? I heard something and looked, and the whole back end of it was a folding down. It had a little fence around it. It was his dock. He backed a fifth wheel up that had an electric tail, and it rolled down. He got his lounge chair, come out on his dock, set his IST down, and began to fish off his own dock in the lake. He's got a 12-foot advantage over us. We're getting snagged on the side. Here he is. He got his own dock. He's sitting in a leather chair. I mean, you have never seen anything like it. I mean, everywhere you look, I mean, it's just amazing. All that the world has and all that people have. And to make it even worse, they had a show. They was setting a show up. Had a big show yesterday. So we were there Thursday, Friday. So they're bringing them in. Come in, look at our new campers. Look at the new truck. Look at the new stuff. I saw things I didn't know existed. You know, it's one of those things you feel pretty happy with what you got until you go to Walmart and sell the stuff you ain't got. You're pretty happy with what you got until you go to Cabela's and realize all the stuff you don't have. You're pretty happy until you go to Bass Pro and realize all the things you don't have. Pretty until you go to Northern Tool and realize all the things you don't have. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, everybody else got to say you don't got them. And I mean, I was pretty happy with what I had until I went over and saw all the things I don't have. Well, they rubbed my nose in that for a week, and I had to have some help. You see, the great inheritance, royalty. Prince Louis inherited that. Didn't have to do one thing to get it. Not one thing. He just born into it. He bore the royal title. You know what the book of Revelation tells me in chapter 2, verse 17? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and a stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it. Hallelujah. The songwriter said, I'll have a new, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I don't know what it is. It's so royal. It's so sovereign. It's so holy. Ain't nobody even knows what it's going to be. The bookies were betting on what they'd name the prince. And they had all these names, and Louis wasn't the one. And so a lot of people lost a lot of money because they thought he'd be named this or this or this. Can I tell you, they can't even take no odds on what we're going to be named because it is a secret. It's so high and holy. Hey, we get a royal title according to the scripture. Prince Louis got free transportation. Can I tell you, hallelujah, we get free transportation. Won't be on a Mercedes, won't be on a Bentley, won't be on a Rolls. No, no, no. Hey, we're going to travel by steed instead. We're going to travel by Mustang, amen, white ones. The Bible said in the book of Jude, and also in Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That settles who it is and where it's going to take place. The book of the Revelation said in verse number, in chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Verse 14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Hallelujah, we're going to have, my friend, a Calvary. A Calvary. I mean, we're going to be mounted riders. We're coming in on white steeds, but they're not going to be the thoroughbreds of the Kentucky Derby. They're not going to be the thoroughbreds of the Spanish monarchy, my friend. They're going to be white horses out of heaven. They're going to be heavenly steeds. Hallelujah! And we're going to have free transportation out back to this old world. He was clothed. Louis was wrapped in free clothing. Thank God, can I tell you, in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse number 7, the Bible says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Hear me. You think Princess Diana's gown was expensive? Our robes have been purchased by the blood of the Savior of the world. The most expensive currency ever spent. The blood of the Savior himself. That's what it cost for you and I to be arrayed. Free accommodations. Buckingham, Kensington, Windsor Castle, palaces. Can I tell you, the Bible says in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Some of the modern translations say houses, other ones say compartments. I got news here. I ain't living in no stinking compartment. I'm living in a mansion, hallelujah. They took Billy Keller to see the Biltmore house one time. He come out and said, Billy, what do you think? He said, that won't even be an outbuilding in glory. He said, that won't even be an outbuilding in glory when we get there. I believe that. And the Bible says, and I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. I have been impressed with that great inheritance of royalty. But can I tell you, for the child of God today, you also have a great inheritance. It's not of this world. It's so expensive, money can't buy it. Speaking of expenses, not only great inheritance, but let's deal in dollars and cents for a few minutes. That seems to be what this old world's crazy about, dollars and cents. Great inheritance, did you realize they pay you to be king? Did you know that you get paid for being who you are? There's a whole generation, they think that that's part of it, you know. They think that because they who they are, they need to be paid. They need to be get, you know, mom and daddy got checks the whole time they were little, and now they need to get one as soon as they turn 18, they get their own check. And the more children you have out of wedlock, the more checks you get, the more money you get. Well, that's the way it works. But it's the way it works in royalty. Did you understand that the queen receives 13 million pounds a year in salary? Times 1.38. Do the math. And this is just her salary. All of her servants, all of her housing, all of her utilities, all of her transportation, everything that she has is furnished. That's just her spending money. 1.3? It's 13 million pounds. That's her salary. Get this. Charles, as the prince, he receives 20 million pounds a year. But he has to pay his own staff, which cost him about 2 million. So the poor fellow's only knocking down about 18 million pounds a year. I don't see how he makes it on that. I really don't. They figured it up. This queen has lived a long time, a very long time. And with 13 million pounds a year, this queen has received in salary 1.5 billion pounds in her lifetime. That does not count what her father left her. I don't know what he left her, but the tax, if she would have had to pay it, which she didn't. When King George died, she was the reason she's queen. He didn't have a son. And so that's how she became king, became queen. When George died, only had a daughter. That's how she became queen. When George died, the inheritance tax on what he had would have been 20 million pounds if she had had to pay it. But she didn't have to pay it. She does not pay any tax. As a matter of fact, none of the royalty pay tax. Some of them pay income tax, but they're not required to. It's voluntarily. And get this. It's all handed down. There are billions and billions of dollars that are all the way back before King James that are still in the family. So every person who's born, Prince Louis was born a multimillionaire. Because there's already an inheritance with his name on it. Without receiving a dime of salary from the government, which he will. Every royal does. But he has inherited a part of what grandma has, that 1.5 billion pounds that grandma has, plus all that she inherited from her daddy, which he inherited from his daddy. All of that, there's a piece of the pie. That's part of his. King Louis was born with all that. Plus what he's going to be given. And the wealth continues to accumulate. And he will never pay for anything. And he'll never have to turn his hand for anything. You talk about income. You talk about reward for being born. Can I tell you? Now, I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about that great inheritance just for being royalty. And then I thought about how that we are royal in when we got born again. We become heirs and joint heirs. Then I got to think about that great income, that great reward just for being who you are. Well, can I tell you the day that you received Christ, it wasn't because of who you were, but because of who he was. It was because of who he was. And he gives us the grace to serve him. And then he turns around and pays us for it. He gives us the honor of serving him and the honor of sacrificing for him and the honor of giving back a little bit of that which he gave us to start with. And then he turns around and rewards us for what we've done. What are you talking about? The Bible says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ, Somebody said, well, what do you reckon that's worth? I don't know. How much is the weight of the earth and how much? You see, I own everything that prince owned and all the heirs and all of that. See, it's all Christ. Some of these world, some of these days, all the Gentile kingdoms are going to be abolished. And King Jesus is going to rule and reign. So you don't believe that. That's why you don't get blessed. You don't believe nothing. Ralph Singer used to say. The Bible said, Paul said this, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Somebody said, Paul, what's it worth? He said, I reckon. Reckon is a counting term. We use it to mount, well, I reckon. That's not the way the Bible uses it. When the Bible says, I reckon, it's like dead reckoning when you're a mariner looking at the stars. I reckon the directions that way. I've calculated the star path, and this is the way. In accounting, when somebody says, I reckon that this is the debt or this is the value, it means that they have put the pencil to it, the calculator. They've worked hard and diligence, and they have come up with the with the conclusive truth that this is how much it is. Paul said, I've weighed it all out. I put all the sufferings of this world on this side, and I put all of the glory that awaits us on this side. Somebody said, well, how did Paul know? Paul had been caught up into the third heaven. And God told him, don't you dare tell it. Don't you tell it. Don't you say a word. When Ralph Sr. was a-dying, he said, Ralph Jr. was with him. He said, Pop, what are you seeing? He said, Had his eyes closed, sat him at the bed. He said, Pop, what is it? Tell me. He said, I can't, son. He said, why, Pop? He said, you couldn't stand it. And he slipped off into glory. Can I tell you? I hath not seen. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man. Crown jewels, nothing. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man. Somebody said, oh, I got a big imagination. Neither hath it entered into the heart of man the glory that awaits us. Your imagination and mine combined could not even begin to imagine what God's got for the child of God and the inheritance that waits on us on the other side. Can I quickly say that I was impressed by the great inheritance of royalty. I was impressed by the great income or the reward of royalty. And then I was something that you do think of. Somebody said, preacher, what's the most impressive thing you learn about Charles? You learn about these guys. It wasn't that they ironed Charles's shoelaces. That was not the most impressive thing. The most impressive thing was that they have everything. They have anything. They have everything. There's nothing that they don't have or nothing that they can't get. But that's not what impressed me. It wasn't their inheritance and it wasn't their income. What I found in the fine print in studying the British royalty. And I found it in British common law. And this impressed me. Big time. They have great immunity. What does that mean, preacher? The royal family is immune from the laws of England. No arrest can be made in the presence of royalty. No arrest can be made on property occupied by royalty. The king is above question. He can commit murder and has in times past, in years gone by, and has, and cannot be charged in any way, cannot even be held accountable for it by anyone. He is completely immune. The only way that you can sue the crown is for them to give you permission. And they actually can issue a royal, I forgot what it's called. It's called a royal fiat, which grants permission to sue them. And that's the only way you can sue the crown, is if they say that they give you permission that you can sue them. Otherwise, you can't sue them. And there's absolutely no, hey, when you stand, I don't care who the sheriff is, I don't care what law enforcement agency it is, not the parliament, not the prime minister, no one can bring a charge against British royalty. Period. I had no idea. When a royal palace is used as a residence, regardless of where the monarch is actually living there at the time, judicial processes cannot be executed within the palace, completely exempt. In other words, even if you've got somebody who's guilty of something, if they can get on the palace grounds, it's like a city of refuge. It's a safe haven because the law cannot come inside the palace walls. That impressed me. Of all the things I read about their great immunity from being prosecuted. And I thought, wow. But then it dawned on me. You know what? They might not can be prosecuted, but they're still guilty. They're still guilty. Do you realize that you and I got great immunity? But it wasn't. Woo! It wasn't because we wasn't guilty. We was guilty of sin. But it was because that a righteous one took my place. And our great immunity was bought through His righteousness. 1 Corinthians said it like this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But listen to this. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Three times it interrupts and says, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What are you saying, preacher? It's not the fact that the Scripture, not the fact that you're immune and you can't be prosecuted for what you've done, that the Scripture says you've been declared not guilty. In Bible college, they taught us justified means just if I'd never sinned. But you know, the further I've come in this thing, I got a better one than that. Justified don't mean just as if I'd never sinned. Justified means just if I'd always been righteous. As far as God's concerned, there is no record. Say, preacher, what did he do with the record? Can I tell you? The Bible says in Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that it was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's what happened to him. The psalmist said, for as high as heaven, the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isaiah said, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Micah said, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Can I tell you, great inheritance, wonderful. Great income, wonderful. But can I tell you, the greatest of everything that the monarchy enjoys is that great immunity. But can I tell you, in their heart of hearts, when they lay down at night, they can't be prosecuted. Not in this country, not in their country. They're immune. There's diplomatic immunity. We can't touch them, no matter what they do. But they're still guilty when they lay their head down at night. But can I tell you that as a child of the King, my King, hallelujah, if you're born of my King, and if you're a child of my King, it's not that you've got a sin record that you're immune from prosecution from, but rather your record is clean because it's been expunged by the blood of the only begotten Son of God. I'm glad to report to you today that we have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The world has rubbed our noses in all the opulence and all of its wealth and luxury and pleasure. But understand that theirs is temporary. But if you're a child of the King and you're living for God, yours is eternal. The question this morning is, do you know Him? Or do you have that royal blood? Are you a child of the King? I'm not talking about signing a Sunday school card. I'm not talking about some little profession. I'm talking about, does the Holy Ghost of God live inside your heart, and you know you're His and He knows you're His, and there's no doubt about your lineage right now at this moment. I'm not talking about what happened 20 years ago, 60 years ago. I'm not talking about what happened yesterday. I want to know today, do you know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know that you know that you know?